Welcome to the latest episode of the Formula Scout podcast. In this week's episode, we're going to be listening back to an interview conducted with Ralph Furman, founder of the Van Diemen Racing Car Company, that was recorded at last year's Formula Ford Festival. Now, Ralph was at the event to see some of his old friends from the racing world and also see the progress of his Furman RFR car. Now, although the Van Diemen company he created was sold on at the end of the 20th century, his Formula Ford chassis designs have been used ever since, and they're still some of the most popular in the paddock. In this interview, we will discuss all of those cars, as well as what he thinks of the future of Formula Ford, including whether halos can be added, and also what it's like just being back in the paddock. Now, Ralph is a little old and he wasn't quite expecting to appear on the podcast, so be patient with some of his answers because he does deliver a lot of great insight.
And obviously you've made a lot of junior single-seater cars over the years. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to talk to you basically about, you know, your time doing that, and obviously Formula Ford is, I guess, your favourite category, you could say, or the one you've made the most success in.
We've made many different types of cars and one make formulas and what have you, and, you know, for sold cars to Ford Motor Company, and Nissan and Honda and God knows, Renault. Formula Ford was our sort of thing, you know. We used the team as a marketing tool, really. And we were fortunate enough to have Duckins Oils as the sponsors for many, many, many years. And it kind of all fitted into what we wanted to do. And it obviously fitted in with their.
So did they develop oils specifically for your cars or for Formula Ford use?
No, I don't think so. No, they use standard products, yeah. Which were very good, and there was all sorts of different products that was tested over the years, like Red Lion from America and other sort of oils that were like water and everything, but proper oil was just good.
Obviously you did a lot of track testing at Snetterton because that was where you were based, but
tremendous amount of testing.
Did you do like engine rig testing as well, or how would you test parts individually for your new car designs?
We were fortunate with Snetterton because it wasn't busy like it is now, and we could virtually go over any day we wanted and test. We'd test engines, we'd be testing gearboxes, we'd be testing exhaust systems, and so it goes on. And new cars and new thoughts, and just to keep going forward. And it meant that when we bought another car, another design, the customer got a sorted car. So we'd done thousands of miles of testing.
Hundreds of thousands.
And
obviously some of the Van Diemen designs, Niall Murray's a good example, that was the RF99, but they've developed it. Do you kind of keep an eye on how they're developing the older chassis?
I think that, no, I didn't, because I sold the company, and I kept going with that new design.
Sorry, have you got a phone that we can use over here?
And I was questioning about that, because we were spending quite a bit to develop that.
Brazil one.
We were getting into aero work and wind tunnels and all sorts of things.
If I'm a David, I'll give Jonathan a ring.
Talked in the company about, why are you doing that if it's selling? I said, just in case it doesn't go through. I said, if it doesn't, it'll take us another 2 years to develop. And then we're going to have a big fall in. So that was a brilliant car, and it has been. Everyone now has has developed shock absorbers and springs and bits and pieces, but there hasn't been that much development.
Yeah.
Just more the type of thing that you as you keep racing the same car and the drivers get used to it, and but it's mainly just in controls with damping and stuff like that.
Yeah. Really. So essentially making the car softer.
I mean, there's certain people who say, oh, we've developed it and all this bit, but not really.
But obviously it's still an open formula with multiple manufacturers, so there's still healthy competition between, you know, Medina, Furman cars and Andemann cars.
Yeah. Well, Medina basically is a knockoff of that car anyway, so
it's a continuation kind of.
Yeah.
And I know that like the wheelbase is a big factor in Formula Ford as well. That can change how reactive the car is in the weather and the drive.
Yeah, they've got a system there. They can change the wheelbase for different circuits. Yeah.
Oh.
Bernard has, yeah.
Oh, well, he hasn't told us about that.
Oh, well, he's, yeah, yeah. He does change that.
That's very clever then.
Yeah.
And do you think, because Formula Ford's lasted 50 years at the festival, where do you see the technology or these designs evolving in the future? Where do you think this category will continue to go?
Well, if we'd have continued as a company, I mean, who knows what
could have made.
It would have, what we turned up with. And but people like Reynard had gone out of it by that time, and who were really, a good company. And I don't think you'd see any of these little companies
kind of emerging.
No. Who knows? I don't know. I can't answer that question.
Because I think that one thing the FIA and Motorsport UK want in the future is a halo, but that'd be very difficult to put on a car like this.
if they wanted halos, then they would be a completely 100% redesign.
Yeah.
I was asked about in the States about, can you just sort of weld some brackets on, and I see that I just saw at the time, and this is a few, it might have been a year ago, but then the COVID hit, so we haven't had talks, but the SCCA's attitude at that time was that providing that the brackets have been looked at by an engineer, it would be all right, but it wouldn't be all right.
they just literally wanted someone to go, that's fine, so they could do it.
It would, apparently, that was, and I said, look, they said, well, would you just put the halo on the car? I said, it wants designing from scratch, so the loads, we know where the loads are going, and so on and so forth. It's not magic, it's just pure engineering. And I think that's one of the areas that we've had great success with, is that all of our cars were engineered and designed correctly, and the chassis were safe. And if you look at the records with the amount of cars that we built, injury level is very low, and it's something that people then took for granted. But lots of other, even the SCCA, the Enterprises, we built a one make car for them. And I hear now that our brief was we want to put in 150 horsepower engine, what have you. Well, they tell me now it's got 250 horsepower engine.
Blimey.
And it's a car that we built 25 years ago. And we supplied, I think, 100 of them. And these people, they disgust me, actually, that they're doing that. But the chassis have stood up to it.
Because you've engineered the car under the assumption that it will have that much power and this much weight, and etc.
Of course, yeah.
I know.
And the big safety factor.
Yeah.
Yeah, plus that, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty big. And yeah. The Van Diemen factory team obviously got the pick of the drivers, the very best in Formula Ford. Do you still keep an eye on the category for its drivers as well as the engineering?
No, I mean, I haven't been too involved. We built some more cars called a RFR or a Furman, as they call it now. And we did well with the F1000 in America because we really did find a good team to run the cars. I think we won the runoffs over there for two years. The 2000 car, it needed some development. We weren't lucky enough to have a team that was really dedicated to that. And the Formula Ford the same. We kind of built it, but it still needs some development. But team development, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Although it won the British Championship the first year we built it.
Luke Williams.
Right. It certainly needed some thought in that, but we haven't got anything yet.
And did you only produce like 3 or 4 chassis of that model at the time?
The 1600.
Yeah.
And I could see that the the market had changed. I mean, every year, you know, serious teams bought new cars, and of course, you at that time you'd still got Formula Ford in the rest of the rest of the continent, and so on and so forth. But and you're never going to make a profit, and if you haven't got volume, you need volume to get the price, to keep the price down.
Economies of scale.
Precisely, at the time we sold, we had a brilliant machine shop, modern machinery, and very good people in fabrication, bodybuilding, and just about. I mean, the company was good, very, very, very run very well and everything. So, yeah. So I decided, well, look, I think I'm on a hider for nothing here. But we're still taking an interest in it with the odd people who are running the cars. And if they want to keep running it, then we'll give them any help that they want.
Mega.
Yeah.
I know Joey in particular really likes that design for what it gives him as a driver.
Yeah.
Which is very interesting.
Well, yeah, we need to, now the curb epidemic is sort of getting over, because we lost 2 years really.
Yeah.
And we can spend more time putting some time into it and working with them. I look forward to next year, I think, with Joey, and he wants to persevere and what have you, and that will be good.
And is there a point where you develop the car with the teams that already have it, Don Hardman mostly, and then at that point you'd be able to produce more of those cars?
Of course, yeah.
So the machine shop's ready to...
Yeah, we can do it. Yeah. because we it's not in ones and twos like these little companies are doing now. Because you just cannot get it down to the price.
So how many do you think you'd need to make a year to make it worth?
I think if we could look at 20 a year, because America Formula Ford is starting to come strong again, and people want to run them. So 20 a year would be a reasonable figure. Yeah.
And at the height of Van Diemen's success, was it a profit making company?
Very.
A lot of profits.
Oh, what? Yeah. It's we had 40 people working there, and we were producing anything from 120 to 180 cars a year.
That's a lot.
And what we made was very cost effective, which in many ways we passed it on to the customer. And we're quite happy to do so because we've got the volume, what have you, and we knew what profit we wanted, and we just kept pushing. But we spent a tremendous amount in the design and development, on lots of different projects.
Yeah. And that was all in-house as well?
So we made 90% in-house.
So was the wind tunnel on site as well?
No.
Did you use one of the like F1 team wind tunnels?
No. We used the vehicle one at, I can't remember the name of it, but anyway, it wasn't ideal because it didn't have a moving floor, but Myra. We used their wind tunnel.
That's pretty cool. Did you use the Myra track as well, or?
No. The wind tunnel.
And was that 100% scale one?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Very useful data then.
Yeah. Well, it was for us because, you know, we weren't particularly looking at downforce,
more mechanical
flaws and stuff. We just wanted to look for the bodywork itself, and that's what we did with 90. Yeah, we spent a lot on that 99 car, and it's got improved straight line speed and in cooling and what have you.
And was the design process fully on paper, or did you use a bit of CFD or anything like that?
No, we're building a. We will be building my son's car that's been completely developed CFD, and everything is on CAD. A lot of the designs were done in from the mid 90s and maybe early 90s a bit on CAD. I got them working with that probably 90, 91, 92. Our head designer David Baldwin, but he still preferred to use the drawing board. A bit like the guy that who's the designer of the
Adrian Newey?
Newey still sticks to, he's got his big board and David was old school like that, I was never going to get him doing a lot of CAD.
And I guess the computers in those times, do they occupy a lot of factory space as well?
But we had plenty of space, so we when we wanted help, we used people with CAD, I said, look, the drawings look pretty.
Must be fast then.
But No, it's so most of the cars were done on 2D.
And how's it been this weekend seeing Roberto again and Jan and, you know, lots of old faces?
Well, it's been a bit of fun and seeing how it goes. And he's disappointed at the moment, but he only just got in the other morning and then he just jumped in the car and he's been doing his best he can.
Mm. Yeah, and do you have a favourite for victory, or have you seen anyone so far you think is going to win this weekend?
I don't know. There's some good young drivers out there. I went to Snetterton in the last championship.
Yeah,
they've got some good cars and they're good young drivers, and I should think I'll hope for Joey to have a miracle.
Hey.
But he could win it.
He had 3 years ago, he did that amazing 3-in-1 overtake up there, which is incredible to see.
Yeah.
And you know, he's the best driver in the paddock, really, and the politest as well, so that always helps.
Mm.
Thanks for that. That was incredibly insightful.
All right.
And it's great seeing some of my junior single-seater heroes this weekend. Including Mickey as well,
who
worked with some great drivers over the years.
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
All right.
Cheers.
Bye.
Hopefully you found that interview as insightful as we did at Formula Scout. It was great talking to Ralph about his time creating Formula Ford cars, and it's going to be great to see those designs be back at the circuits this year. If you want to follow more of our Formula Ford coverage, check out Formula Scout 1600 on Twitter, and the Formula Ford section of our website, and of course, go and watch on the BRSEC's channel, on MSVR, and even in New Zealand and Australia. There is Formula Ford racing all around the globe, and it's all free to watch.